Well, it is a great privilege to be with you once again this evening and to have the opportunity to bring the Word of God. I do bring to you the greetings of the fellowship down in Dawsheath Evangelical Church in South East Essex. Well, I've had the privilege of ministering for many years. The Lord is good to us. We plod on, but the Lord is faithful and kind, and we do remember you in prayer from time to time, and seek that the blessing we seek for ourselves may be your portion too. Well, I would like to direct our attention to one of the verses that we read together this evening from this wonderful portion of God's Word, the 17th chapter of John's Gospel. Sometimes this passage is referred to as the great high priestly prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. It could perhaps be called the Lord's real prayer. There is that prayer in Scripture which is often referred to as the Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, and so on and so forth. But that is a prayer which the Lord Jesus Christ taught his disciples, his people, to pray. But this passage that we have read together this evening contains an actual prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, just shortly before he went to the cross of Calvary. Just shortly before he was to lay down his life and give his life a ransom for many, we are told in that first verse that he lifted up his eyes to heaven and he prays to his Father in heaven. And this is a most wonderful prayer. There's a great deal in it. It's wonderful, really, that we are almost given an audience to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're given this wonderful opportunity, as it were, to read and to hear this prayer that he uttered to his Father. And it gives us some wonderful insights into the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see something here in this prayer of the glory which the Lord Jesus Christ had with the Father before the world was. We see the great desires that the Lord Jesus Christ has for his people. And I think we can see here too some indication of what the Lord Jesus Christ prays for his people now. For the Lord Jesus Christ was a man of prayer when he was here upon the earth. But he also continues to be a man of prayer in glory this evening, because the Bible tells us, doesn't it, that we have in glory in the Lord Jesus a great high priest, one who ever lives to make intercession for us. And as the Lord Jesus was a praying man whilst he was upon the earth, so in glory he prays now for his people. And we haven't got time to look at all these verses this evening, but we can see how in this prayer the Lord Jesus Christ prays for all of his people, for all those who would believe upon him through all time. But there is one verse in particular that I would seek to draw to your attention this evening by the Lord's help. And it's just that second verse. The second verse. The Lord Jesus says to the Father in prayer, "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." This is part of a great petition of the Lord Jesus Christ just shortly before he goes to the cross of Calvary. He says in verse 1 that his hour is come. This was the great purpose for which he had come into this world, that he might die. And the petition that he utters to the Father in verse 1 is that the Father may glorify the Son, so that he, the Son, may glorify his Father. And the Lord Jesus Christ here lifts up his eyes to heaven, and it's as if he looks beyond the cross. He looks beyond that terrible suffering which he is to endure, that awful suffering upon the cross of Calvary, which is far beyond what we can comprehend or we can imagine. And he looks beyond that to the glory that would await him after he had suffered for his people. That's why he says, "Glorify thy Son." And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ was glorified after he had suffered and died for our sins. The Lord raised him up. He was raised from the dead. and he ascended back into glory, and he is now glorified. He's seated upon the throne of heaven, and the highest place that heaven affords is his by sovereign right. So the Lord Jesus says to the Father, glorify thy Son. He looks for that day to come when he will be glorified and enter into his glory. And he desires that he might be glorified in order that he as the Son may glorify the Father. And the Father is glorified in the salvation of his people. And the Father is glorified as that atoning work which the Lord Jesus accomplished upon Calvary's cross is applied to the hearts and lives of his people. And we see something of the application of that redemption in this second verse that we are looking at. Because the Son, who is glorified in heaven, glorifies the Father as those people for whom the Son died are brought to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, as they're called by grace and as they are given eternal life, and they come into this wonderful experience of eternal life. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And you will notice that the word given or give is mentioned three times in this verse that we are looking at this evening. And it's those three things that I would like to draw to your attention by the Lord's help for a short while this evening. We see first of all that a power has been given to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we see that a provision has been given to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we shall see thirdly, by God's help, that a people have been given to the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all then, there is a power that has been given to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says to the Father, as thou hast given him power over all flesh. Literally, the word power means authority. That's the sense in which the word is used. And I don't know about you, but I find this a wonderful, consoling and encouraging thought in these days in which we live. For we look around us and we see so much that grieves our hearts in so many ways. We see terrible things going on in the world. We see the dreadful moral situation that surrounds us. We see the terrible state of the church, generally speaking. And we could almost be driven to despair as we see so many different things coming to pass. We need to remember in these days that there is one who is still upon the throne. And we need to remember in these days that our Lord Jesus Christ is in control. The Father has given him power over all flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ, as we have said, is in that highest place that heaven affords. He's seated upon the throne at the Father's right hand. He rules over all things. He has been given power over all flesh. He is in control. He rules over all things. And this is a thought that should bring great encouragement and consolation to our hearts in these difficult and these desperate days in which we live. And this should also be a great encouragement to us as we seek to evangelize, as we seek to make the gospel known, that God has given to the Son power over all flesh. Because as we seek to make the gospel known, whether it's the preaching of the gospel from the chapel, whether it's the evangelism that we may undertake in the neighbourhood where God has placed us, whether it's the endeavours that we make amongst the children to make the gospel known, we need to remember this wonderful fact that the Father has given to the Son power over all flesh. When we seek to evangelise, we don't go forward in our own strength. We don't have the power, we don't have the ability, we don't have the authority to change people's hearts. There may be people and we perhaps long to see them saved, and if we could save them ourselves we would do, but we can't, We have to remember this evening that the Lord Jesus Christ has power over all flesh. He has the power to change the hearts of men and women and boys and girls. He has the power to reach them and to save their ever-living, never-dying souls. And we see here too that the Son has been given power over all flesh. The Father has given him power over all flesh. And this power, this authority, this glory that he now has, he has been given by the Father. And surely that glory which he has now entered into is a reward for the sufferings which he endured. There's a prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 14. And it says there, "And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed." A power, an authority that has been given to him. This glorified, this wonderful position that he has. And we see the extent of this power is, as we have said, over all flesh. He is there upon the throne. He rules not just in his church, but he rules over all the affairs of men. And there is nothing in this world which is outside of his control. Colossians 2 tells us that he is the head of all principality and powers. He is truly King of Kings, and he is Lord of Lords. He has an unlimited power. He has power over all flesh. But he has a particular charge that has been given to him, that he should give eternal life to as many as the Father has given to him. Yes, he's the King of Nations, but in a special sense, he is the King of Saints. And there are those who do come to submit to his rule and to his authority. The extent then of this given power which he has, and this is, or should be, a wonderful encouragement to us this evening, that this power has been given to the Lord Jesus Christ over all flesh. And the wonderful encouragement is that even the devil himself cannot stop the Lord Jesus Christ doing his mighty work. The Father has given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as the Father has given him. And even the devil himself cannot stop the Lord Jesus Christ accomplishing his great work of giving eternal life to all of his people, to all those that the Father has given to him. So he has been given then a power. But the second thing I would like you to notice this evening is that there is a provision that has been given to the Lord Jesus Christ. Or there is, as it were, a particular end for which the Father has given him power over all flesh. And this end, this provision is this, simply this, that he should give eternal life. That he should give eternal life. Now, when I was first converted, when I was about 12 or 13 years old, a concept that I found very, very difficult to understand, and in a sense I still don't fully understand it, I still don't fully grasp it, is how we can be in eternity. How can there be things which go on and never come to an end? We're creatures of time, and we're used to things that have a beginning and an ending. And everything in this world will ultimately come to an end. We might feel sometimes as if things go on forever, particularly if we're in a difficult or a situation that we feel is bad. We might think it's never coming to an end. We perhaps have a trial of our faith and it goes on and on and on, and we can never see an end to it. But eventually there will be. Everything in this world comes to an end. Our houses will one day come to an end. One day they will be no more. Our jobs will one day come to an end. And more importantly than those things, our lives will one day come to an end. Everything in this world comes to an end. But this provision that has been given here to Christ is that he should give eternal life to as many as the Father has given to him. A life that will never end, a relationship that will never end, because the third verse tells us, gives us a definition of what eternal life is. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. What a wonderful gift this is, a relationship with God through Christ, for time and for eternity, that will never ever come to an end. Yes, our time in this world, our pilgrimage in this world, will come to an end, but then we shall be forever with the Lord, with him, and in a relationship with him that will not and cannot ever come to an end. It's really beyond our comprehension to entirely understand these things. And we see too that eternal life is the gift. Eternal life is a gift, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. We could have read from John chapter 10, verse 28, where the Lord Jesus says concerning his sheep, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." This eternal life, this wonderful privilege of knowing the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent, is the gift of God. And this fact sets apart biblical Christianity from all the religions of the world and all the other philosophies of the world. For every other religion, every other philosophy will tell us that eternal life isn't something that is a gift. It's something that we have to earn. It's something that we have to work for. But the Bible tells us very clearly that eternal life is the gift of God. It's given by the Lord Jesus Christ. That well-known gospel verse, Romans 6, verse 23, tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. If you go to work, or you have been to work in the past, you will be paid a salary at the end of the week or at the end of the month. That's your wage, that's what you've earned, that's what you deserve. But eternal life isn't what we've earned, it's not what we deserve, it's the very opposite to that. It is the gift of God through Christ. Eternal life, the very gift of God. You know, there are some people in this world and they don't like to accept charity. They don't like things being given to them. But we have to accept eternal life on that basis, if we would accept eternal life at all, because we cannot earn it. It has to be given to us by God. It is the gift of God, the gift of God. This wonderful provision then that has been given to the Son, that he should give eternal life. And we must look to the Lord Jesus Christ for this gift. There is no eternal life in any other. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we either accept that gift from him and we receive eternal life, or we have no eternal life whatsoever at all. A gift then to us, but we need to remember that it was a gift that has been purchased for us at such tremendous cost. Salvation comes to us freely. It's the gift of God's grace, but it cost the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a precious gift then this is, that he should give eternal life to as many as have been given to him. To have eternity with God, with the Lord Jesus Christ. John Newton puts it, doesn't he, in his well-known hymn, "When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun." Eternal life. It's not just something that will be ours when we die, when we leave this world, but it's a present reality for the believer now. It's this wonderful privilege of knowing the only true God. and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent in the eternal, in this life now. It is this wonderful privilege, this wonderful relationship, and it is our present possession, eternal life. Do you have eternal life this evening? Have you been given eternal life by the Son? Oh, there are so many in this world, as there were when the Lord Jesus Christ was here in this world. And he said of some, didn't he, "Ye will not come to me that ye might have life." And there are some who will not come to him that they might have life. Or how we pray for them, that they may yet be changed, that their hearts may be changed, that they may yet be brought to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. A great provision then has been given to the Son, that he should give eternal life. But then there is something else here. There is not only a power which has been given to the Lord Jesus Christ, a power over all flesh. There is not only just a provision that has been given to him, but there is also a people that have been given to him. To whom will he grant this wonderful gift of eternal life? Well, he tells us here in these words, "To as many as the Father has given him." To as many as the Father has given him. There is a wonderful truth which is taught here in this chapter and in many places in Holy Scripture. That the Father has given to the Son a people. It's not been down the years the most popular of biblical doctrines, but it is nevertheless a biblical doctrine that the Father has given to his Son a people. Sometimes those people are called the elect. Sometimes they are called the church. Sometimes they are just called his people. And there's a number of different names given to them in the scriptures. Sometimes his sheep. But ultimately all those terms mean the same thing. All of the redeemed. There is a number of people, a vast number of people, a multitude more than man can number, that have been given by the Father to the Son. And that wonderful donation took place in eternity past, before the foundation of the world. It pleased the three persons of the Trinity, the three persons of the Godhead, to devise this wonderful plan and work of salvation. The Father devised a way whereby he would save a multitude of sinners, more than man can number. And God the Son agreed to come in time to do all that was necessary in order that those people that the Father gave him, those people that the Father chose unto salvation, in order that they might be saved and that they might be brought to an experience of life eternal. Though they deserve nothing but the eternal wrath and condemnation of a holy God, yet it pleased God in his sovereign grace to grant them this gift of life eternal. And in time, God the Son came into this world. He came to live a perfect life. He came, as he says in verse 4, to glorify the Father on the earth and to finish the work that the Father had given him to do. He came to live a perfect life, to lay down his life, to shed his precious blood, to make a perfect atonement for all the sins of all his dear believing people, and then to rise again for them and to intercede for them in glory. And in time, he brings each one of those dear believing people, one by one, to this knowledge of life eternal, knowing him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom the Father has sent. And he will one day bring each one of them safe home to glory. Not one of them will be lost. Every one that the Father has given to the Son will have eternal life. Every one will be called by grace, and every one will be brought safely home to glory. The Lord Jesus said in John 6 and verse 37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." He said in John chapter 10, verse 29, "My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. That he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." A multitude of sinners, more than man can number, all of his elect people. Each one will be called by grace. Each one will be brought safe home to glory. And each one shall be given eternal life. And in glory there will be no vacant settings. He will not lose one of them. All shall be brought safely there. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Well, there might be someone saying this evening, and some people have had this thought in their minds, "That's all very well, but how can I know whether I'm one of those people that the Father has given to the Son? How can I know whether I'm one of the elect of God?" Well, simply this. We can say, if the Lord Jesus Christ has been given by God to you, then you have been given by God the Father to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you know that you have been brought to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you know that you know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent, then you can be absolutely assured that you are one of those whom the Father has given to the Son. If you are willing to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and your Lord, then there is no question of your election. There is no question over this great fact that you have been given by the Father to the Son. And if you have come to the Lord Jesus Christ in time, then you have been given to him in eternity. Three things then concerning this giving. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Well, just two or three things to apply this before we draw to a close this evening. First of all, do we need to examine our own hearts? Are we all the Lord's people here this evening? Has each one of us been given eternal life? Are we possessors of eternal life? Do we know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent? And secondly, as I mentioned at the beginning, really, we could be much encouraged by this verse, much helped in these days of so much chaos and so confusion, to know that still our Lord Jesus Christ has power over all flesh. The Father has given him that power. He is still there. All power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. He has not abdicated his throne this evening. He is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords, no matter what may take place in this world. And we can be absolutely assured of the ultimate success of the gospel, that there is a people that have been given by the Father to the Son, who shall be given eternal life, who shall be brought to know the only true God. We live in dark days, especially in this land. We see very few true conversions, and we can so easily lose heart and be discouraged. We need to remember this evening that the Lord Jesus Christ will not fail, and he does have a people. Who knows, there could well yet be many people in this village and in the surrounding villages and in this neighbourhood that he will bring to know him. Our responsibility is to pray. Our responsibility is to make the gospel known, to do all that we can in the furtherance of the gospel, using those means that the scriptures make clear that we should use. And our responsibility is to live a godly, sanctified, holy life before God and in this world. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Well, we'll leave it there for now this evening. May the Lord add his blessing to his word for his name's sake. Amen. Now there is a